But Acts chapter 27, if you'll take note and begin to read in verse 21 with me today, glad to see everybody. But the Bible said, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. All right, you can be seated this morning. If you know this passage of Scripture, you understand that they're trying to go about 50 miles from where they're at now and trying to get over to a place where that they can winter and that before they have to sail on to Rome. And Paul has warned them not to loose from where they're at. He has told them not to leave. They're in a place called the Fair Havens. And Paul said, we don't need to loose from here, but there's going to be great harm and that of the ship, and not only the ship, but that of life. And we find that as they let loose from where they were at, that there was a Euroclodon, which is a great storm, has now trapped the ship, and it's got it. For 14 days and for 14 nights, they've not seen sun, they've not seen moon, they've not seen stars. And the Bible tells us that all hope that they should be saved was taken away. But then we find that in the middle of the storm, God shows up. Hey, I'm glad that in the middle of our storm, God can show up. Amen. Listen, He may not the storm go away, but He can come by and help us in the middle of it. Psalm 17:3, I'm glad that David said, thou hast visited me in the night time. And boy, I'm glad when it gets dark, and boy, it gets stormy out there, I'm glad that the Lord can come by and cheer our heart and give us something to go on for Him. But I want you to look what the Apostle Paul said. He said right here, he said, I exhort you to be of good cheer. Well, I mean, they're in the middle of a battle, in the middle of a storm. Their boat is tossed up and down. And here Paul stands. They've not ate for 14 days and 14 nights. Hope is gone. They've known that the boat's going to come apart. And he says, be of good cheer. Boy, I mean, what a time for the preacher to stand out there when the boat is falling apart and it's dark all around you. And the preacher steps up and says, be of good cheer. Boy, he just don't know what he's talking about. He just don't know why he should be saved. Well, of course he knew, amen. He had already met with the Lord. Listen today, I'm glad that in the midst of our storm, the Lord can come by and help us. But that ain't what I want to deal with, but I thought that was good, amen. I want you to look in verse 23. And he said, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve. I don't want to preach for just a little while having a thought on whose I am. Let me say today that I belong to somebody. Amen. Hey, listen, if you're lost or saved, you belong to somebody today. And you need to get that. Amen. Hey, I'm glad today that I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you're lost, let me say by way of introduction, if you're lost, you belong and back to the devil. The Bible said in John 8:44, the Lord told them Pharisees over there, he said, you're the father of the devil, and the lust of your father you'll do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. He told them what? You're of your father, the devil. Hey, when I was lost and undone without Christ, I belonged to the devil. I didn't belong to myself. I didn't belong to the Lord. I belonged to the devil. Amen. Hey, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Hey, listen today, if you belong to him, he's got you. He'll keep you as long as you'll let him keep you, and he'll drag you off in that to hell at the end of it all, and he'll snicker life about it. He'll destroy your family. He'll destroy this church if we'll let him, and he'll snicker about it the whole time. But I'm glad today that the Apostle Paul stood out there in that ship when the storm was raging. And he said, God came by, and he said, whose I am. Listen, the Apostle Paul knowed who had bought his note. Amen. And knowed who had took care of him. Number one this morning, who I belong to. The Apostle Paul said right here, I belong to the Lord. You know why he could say that? Because there was a price and that paid. Hey, let me tell you today that if you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, you had to realize that there was a price and that paid for you. Listen, I got bought. I don't know about you. I don't know how you got in. Well, I do too. If you got in, you got in the same way that I did. Amen. There's only one way to get saved. That's through the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I'm glad that I was bought. And paid for. Second Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 said, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Listen, this morning, what did he say? Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Hey, our spirit don't belong to us. Our body don't belong to us anymore. Hey, we belong to the sovereign God that's in heaven, because he sent his blessed son and had to shed his blood so that we might get saved one day. Hey, he paid for it all so that I could get saved today. Boy, the Bible said in Matthew chapter 13, boy, talking about the pearl of great price and talking about the church as a whole. He said again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking a goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Listen, today I looked at it. He said he went and looked and he found one pearl of great price. And that was us. Think about that for just a second. He came and he died for the church. Amen. If you've been saved, you're part of the church. Listen, the Bible said in Ephesians chapter 5, and husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. But when I read that over in Matthew chapter 13, by that he said that he went out seeking goodly pearls and found one pearl of great price, that he went and sold all that he had and he bought it. Ain't that something? Ain't that what Christ done for us? Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, even as the Son of Man is come not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life for a ransom for many. He paid. He paid for you and paid for me. If you're saved this morning, you're bought. You're paid. Hey, let me tell you this. If you're lost, you've been paid for. You've just not accepted it yet. Amen. Hey, listen, the sin debt, I was paid at Calvary, every bit of it. I was paid there so that me and you, I could get saved. Amen. Bible said in 1 Timothy chapter 2, he said, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? For there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Hey, there ain't nobody else that you can pray to, pray through, pray by. Listen, it's not Mary. It's not the priest. It ain't me. It ain't your neighbor. Bible said there's one God and one mediator between God and men, and that's the man Christ Jesus. You can only get to heaven one way. You can only pray one way. You can only affect heaven one way. And that's by Christ Jesus the Lord today. Well, look what he said. Look what he said. He said there's what? Who? It's between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. He paid for us. He paid for us. You ever paid for anything and said it ain't mine? You ever paid for anything? I'm telling you, when I buy something, it's mine. I mean, I bought it. I paid for it. And I'm going to use it until the Lord instructs me to give it away. Amen. See, you know, the Lord ain't never going to instruct him to give us away. We're his. We're his. He's holding on to us. I'll get there in a minute. Listen, Christ gave himself at Calvary. The law called for a payment for sin. What Adam had done back in the garden and dropped us off, all humanity off into the sin nature. Listen, and cursed this earth. Listen, what Satan had deceived Eve into doing over there, and Adam done willingly. Listen, Jesus bought it and paid for it. Take your Bible and go to Romans 5. Romans 5, I didn't intend to go here today, but we'll look. Romans 5, The Bible said in Romans 5:15. We'll back up in verse 14. Well, let's pull my trick. Let's go back to verse 12. Wherefore as by one man sin into the world, death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Talking about what Adam done, and then that's us. He said, for unto the law sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. The offense is what Adam done. The offense was sin, you see. So also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead. Talking about what Adam done. He said, if what Adam done dropped us all off into death, he said, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift for the judgment was by one the condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Many sins, but it took one justification. Many offenses, but one justification. You read on over in this chapter, and I believe it tells us that where grace, what is it where sin did abound? What is it that where sin did abound? Grace did much more abound. I'm glad that the Lord tells us that. Listen today, Christ bought and paid for us. He paid for you and he paid for me. The Bible says in Galatians 3 that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. He paid for you. So when he paid, you become his. You become his possession. You become his property. You become him. We belong to him. We go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and the Bible said, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? That's a hard thing to grasp, ain't it? We're not our own anymore. We don't belong to us. Now what did Paul say? He said, the angel of the Lord come by tonight of whose I am. Right. Paul knew who he belonged to. Hey, listen, a lot of folk want to be saved and still belong to their self. It don't work that way. Hey, listen, when I got saved, I didn't understand everything when I got saved. I still don't understand everything. But I know one thing, I don't belong to me. I don't belong to me. I'm not a free moral agent. A lot of folks say, well, man was a free moral agent before he got saved. No, he belonged to the devil. Now, I do believe that God gives us a free will and that to choose him. I'm not a Calvinist nor a hyper-Calvinist, but I know that when I got saved, birthed into the family of God, and I belong to him. And so as I belong to him, he said, first of all, that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost in our body. He dwells inside this thing. Right? Just as in the Old Testament, as God's Spirit in that dwelt in the tabernacle, and then it dwelt in Solomon's temple that God had let them make. And listen, friend, when he created the church in the Lord Jesus Christ, he sends the Holy Spirit to dwell inside of us. He said, which we have of God, and you're not your own. So let me say this, that if we belong to him, then we should no longer consider our will, but the will of our master. Is that not right? Right? I don't belong to me. I'm not mine anymore. So therefore, if I no longer belong to me, if I'm not mine, then I'm not able to do with me what I want to do. Right? I have something else or somebody else and that to consider. I have somebody else in that to think about. It's kind of like being married. I get up in the middle of the night. If you have to go to the restroom in the middle of the night, I don't get up and clonk and tromp and go through the house and I'm singing at the top of my lungs. Because why? Need to consider my wife. Amen. Consider what she's over there singing. Although I believe I could stomp and clonk and sing at the top of my lungs and she'd still be asleep. Amen. I believe I could do that.
But listen, it's no longer to consider us and our desire and what we want to do in our flesh. But as we belong to Christ, we need to consider His will for our life. Not try. I've been on this here for a little while. A lot of people want to take their will and shove it into God's will and make it work. It will never work. You'll be miserable. You'll never be able to be faithful. It will just never work when I try to take my will and shove it into God's will. But boy, when I take His will and say, Lord, I just want to do what You want me to do. Well, when I say that, it changes everything. You know why? Because I gave up my will, you see. What was it the Lord Jesus said over there in the Garden of Gethsemane? Not my will. He said, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. Boy, ain't that something what we need to do? What was it that the Apostle Paul said in the book of Ephesians? He said, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of God is. Hey, I believe that you can know and understand what the will of God is for your life. We no longer should consider our will, but we should consider the owner of us, the owner that desires to use us in the right way. It's kind of like this. Let me give you an example. Kind of like when we preached on modesty. I hear about 2, 3, 4, ever how long ago it's been, years. And how we talked about having a landlord. And if you're renting a piece of property, now see, I own my piece of property. Well, me and the bank, we own that thing. And I do what I want to on my piece of property. But see, if I was renting it from somebody, I don't own that piece of property. They're letting me have it for an extended amount of time that I might use it, but I must use it in the confines of what they said it could be used for. You don't go and paint it any color you want to paint it. You don't let anybody just come and stay in it that you want to let stay in it. Why? It ain't yours. And see, that's the same thing about us. Our body and our spirit and our life is bought and paid for. We ain't ours no more. Our will should not come into play. And I understand that is a hard thing to deal with this morning. And trust me, if anybody has a problem with it, you're looking at him. Your old will, does your old flesh just rire up on you sometimes and say, well, we're going to do it this way. I want to do it this way. This is the way I want to do it. Hey, listen, what did he say? The flesh lusts against the spirit, is against the spirit against the flesh, the flesh, and they're contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Hey, listen, your flesh and your spirit are contrary, and they're in a battle all the time, and they're raging, and hey, you've got to get you under control. I struggle with me. I do struggle with Satan, but I struggle with me today. I want you to ask yourself the question, as we belong to Him and we are trying to serve Him, is what I'm doing glorify Him? He bought us. He paid for us. We belong to Him. I'm an ambassador for Him. You know, when the United States sends out an ambassador to another country, they sure don't want them to look silly. They sure don't want them to go somewhere and act crazy. I'm trying to use some good words here. They don't want them to act unprofessional. They want them to act as an American should act, believe as an American should believe. And it's the same in our Christian life, that we are bought and we are paid by Him, that He made the price. And we are now ambassadors and representatives, and that for Him. And everything that we should do should bring glory to Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, whether therefore we eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Is everything you do to the glory of God? Well, you start talking. Notice he's talking about eating or drinking there. You can look at your preacher and tell he loves to eat. I told my wife, we went out to eat last night, and we come in, and we'd been to buy the grocery store, and then we got some summer sausage. And I love summer sausage with crackers and sharp cheddar cheese. I love that stuff. But listen, I mean, after I'd studied a while late yesterday evening and I was looking over things, we'd went out to eat and I really wanted to eat some of that stuff. But I come out of my study and I told my wife, I said, I'm still full. I said, from eating supper. I said, I ain't even hungry enough to go in there and eat that summer sausage. I about went in there anyway, but that'd have been gluttony, wouldn't it? Amen. Listen, I love to eat. Listen, but he said, whatever we do, do to the glory of God. Why? Why do we do that? He bought us and paid for us, didn't he? Shouldn't we do that because we love him? Shouldn't everything we do be because we love him? He took our place at Calvary. Well, with all my heart, I want to thank you, Lord. Hey, listen. I'm telling you, it's him. It's all about him. It ain't about us. Paul said, whose I am? He said, look, the angel of God come by. He said, of whose I am. I am his. I should want to serve him and spend my life for him. Satan would love for you not to do that. Satan would love to get you into trouble. Your flesh wants to do what it wants to do. But whose I am? We are the Lord's servant. We're his free servant. Ain't that something? We're not only a servant, we're free servant. And that means that he has made us free. What was it? Therefore, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I'm free today. But I serve him. I'm his servant. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, for he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. He said we're his servant. We're free, but we're his servant today. Ephesians chapter 6, as he's talking about real servants over here. He's talking about slaves. That's what he's talking about, indentured servants, if you'd let me say that. He said, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but now look what he said, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Do you realize that's what the servants of Christ do? The will of God from the heart. We have a desire to please him. Why? We're his. I've been bought. I'm paid for. You know, I'm not afraid to tell anybody that I'm Tommy Latham's boy. I'm not. I'm not afraid to tell anybody that today. Hey, listen, he might have been afraid to tell some people that I'm his son growing up over the years, but I've never had to be ashamed of who my daddy is. Now, y'all might have not had that privilege like I've had. I've never ever had to be ashamed of who my father is and who my mother is and my family, or most of my family, whatever you say that. But listen today. Listen. I've never got a reason to be ashamed of who my father is. My heavenly father. I've never got a reason to be ashamed. I've never got a reason not to do his will. How about you today? What's your reasoning? Not doing his will. You're his. If you're saved, you're his. He said, if any man serve me, let him follow me. What did he say before in Luke chapter 9? If any man will come after me, let him what? Deny himself. That's the very first thing. And take up his cross and follow me. Very first thing, if you're going to follow Christ, is you got to deny yourself. You're not only going to deny your pride to keep you from getting saved, but then after you get saved, you must deny yourself, and that to serve Christ. He said, if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there also my servant shall be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. We'll have a servant's heart. How many of us have a servant's heart? Not our heart. Not a willful heart. Not a prideful heart, not a it's my body, it's my life. I'll do as I please. I'll go where I want to. I'll say what I want to. I'll dress as I want to. I'll act as I want to. Not if you're saved. You shouldn't have that desire. You ever said, boy, if I ever get a chance, I'm going to tell them what I think about some things. Now, let me say this. There are some times that people need to be told some things. But it needs to be in love and in care that they might see the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in you. They might need to know how you feel about some things along the way. But you know, sometimes he did say, be ye angry and sin not. Now there's a fine line in there of getting angry and not sinning. There really is. I've been on both sides of that thing. And boy, it don't take much to get pushed over the line right there. But you know what? If we're representing him, if we're living for him and we've got a servant's heart, yes, we want things done right and we certainly want them done to please him. But listen, we'll have that servant's heart that will be like our master. If our master's, if he's acting like this, listen, he wants us to act like him. Take your Bible and go to Matthew chapter 25. We'll have a servant's heart, but then you know what? We'll have a servant's desire. Matthew chapter 25, we'll be found faithful. Our desire in being a servant should be to serve Him, should be faithful in our service to Him. Matthew chapter 25, look in verse 15. I believe this is where I need to be. Go back in verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling unto a far country who called his own servants, didn't call nobody else's servants. Did you catch that in your scripture right there in your Bible? O-W-N. He called his own servants. Now there's a reason the scripture says that right there. And delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability. And straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. And his Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. And lo, thou hast that is thine. There thou hast that is thine. Can you see him coming? Can you imagine those servants that had give 5 talents when he come and he had 5 more in his hand to give? He had something else to give besides what God had, his Lord had gave him. He that had 2 come back with 2 more and he said, I've doubled what you gave me. I've took what you gave me and I put it to use. And I was able to use what you gave me. How many of you are using what God gave you? How many of you are using it? God called you to preach, preach. If you can sing, sing for the glory of God. If you can teach Sunday school, teach Sunday school. There's a lot of things that you can do. He said right here, though, they come, and that's just a few things. There's a lot of things. You know what? My sister called me the other day, and we were talking. I might have called her. I can't remember. And she said, I had just went over to a church, and she said, I picked up a knee scooter for a girl. That she's broke her ankle or her leg or something. And she said she has no insurance. And they're not, you know, they've already paid to get a cast on it and so on and so forth. She said, so I knew this church done a medical, how do you put it? A medical supply ministry. Now let that sink in to your head just for a second. I had never thought of that. To do a medical supply meal. You know, we talk about feeding folk. You know, folk need something. There's churches around here that's got food pantries. And there's churches around here that can put you up if you need to be put up. And I thought to myself, a medical supply ministry. If you need a hospital bed and they got one, you can have it. All you got to do is the only thing required is just bring it back. You ain't got to pay for it. And they just, you know, there it is. You know, she needed that knee scooter, and she said, lo and behold, guess what? The day that I needed it, it had come back in and be able to take it to that girl. Need crutches or walkers or whatever? I thought, my soul, ain't that a wonderful thought that a church would go out of their way and have to do that for sick folk? You know, wasn't the Lord concerned with the sick? Amen? Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Was he not concerned with the sick? Did he not want to help folk? Did he not want to heal folk and get them better? Well, of course he did. I'm not telling you that's the route we're going to go. I'm just telling you, boy, you're talking about taking a talent and using it And that, you know what my sister said? She said this girl that she's 21 years old that broke her ankle, she said she's not saved. And she said her mama's telling her all these things that the church is doing so that she could get better. Well, not only is it a good thing physically, but boy, you're talking about a door that's open to be able to witness to folk. Taking a talent and using it. But here we come to, notice what he said right here. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been what? Faithful over a few things. Are we faithful over what God has asked us to do and called us to do and made us able to do? I can't do anything without him. John 15 and 5. What did he say? He said, for without me you can do nothing. But then we come to verse 24. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. And lo, thou hast, that is thine. I could see that he might have took that one talent, and speaking of money, and that he had folded it up in a napkin, and he took it, and he had buried it, and he put it in the earth. And while his master was gone, that thing sat in the earth, covered up, where no one could see it, and where no one could use it. And when his master come back, the Bible said there was a reckoning day. You know, there's always a reckoning day. You know, it's a day of judgment. It's always a reckoning day. And I could see as he come to his master, and he still had it folded up in that napkin, and it might have had dirt all over it, I don't know. But I could see as he come and give him that one talent back to him. And he said, I was afraid to do and use what you gave me. If the Lord gave it to us to use, why are we afraid to use it? Why are we afraid to use what God gave us? Don't you want him to get the glory out of your life? I don't want the glory out of it. I want him to get the glory out of it. What was it in Matthew 6? He said, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So he took that one talent and he gave it back to his master. And he said, I was afraid. And his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Was that what God says about us? Oh, I hope not. Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then when I come, I should have received mine own with usury. He said, you should have put it in the bank and let it draw interest. He said, if you were afraid to do anything with it, at least have put it in the bank and let it draw interest. He said, take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. If you don't want to be faithful, God's gave you something to use. I remember I had a preacher friend of mine. His mother played the piano. And he said, Mama could play the piano. But he said she would never use it for God's glory. Never use it for God's glory. He said, you know what? The Lord took it away from her. Now, I never did ask him how that God took it away. I don't know what happened right there. But he said, the Lord took it away from her. But the servant looks to his master for direction. Not only is he the free servant of the Lord, he has a servant's heart. He's faithful to his master. But then he looks to his master for direction. You know, the servant don't go on his own and do what he wants to do. We do what we're supposed to do, and we do what we've been given. And you know what is? What did one fellow say? Until you receive new instruction, you do what you've been told to do. Right? You know, when I worked a public job, my boss didn't have to come around every morning and tell me what to do. Why? I've been given instruction. When I hired in, I was given instruction. Here's what I want you to do. This is how you do it. This is it. Until we teach you something different or tell you something different, this is what you're to do. And you know, that's what I done. And you know what? When the day come that they wanted me to do something different or wanted to add to my job or wanted to do this or do this a different way, you know what? My boss would come and say, now here's what we're going to do. But until then, I done what I know to do. and I tried my best to do it well. We take our direction from the Master today. You know what? Our Master takes care of us, does He not? Is there not a divine presence with us and a divine guidance and a divine keeping and a divine help that we might serve Him? But Paul said back in Acts 27, I'm getting close to closing, in Acts chapter 27, of whose I am and whom I serve. But then number two, all that was just one point. As my wife says, boy, you get bogged down sometimes. But number two, who I am. Let me ask you who you are today. Are you one that is saved, following the Lord? Or are you one that is saved doing what you want to do? You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. We no longer do the things that we used to do. I thought about Saul of Tarsus. When Saul got saved out there, boy, God changed him, turned him into a preacher and an apostle, and even changed his name and called him Paul. Look at the wild man of Gadara in Mark chapter 5. When he met Jesus, boy, he got him clothed. The Bible said that he was seated and clothed and in his right mind. And then he sent him home, and that to testify unto him of what good things the Lord had done for him. By the way, let me give you this while I'm on Mark 5 right there. You realize that the wild man of Gadara had a home, don't you? He wants to do what with your home? He wants to destroy your home if he can. But boy, ain't you glad that he put that home back together. But who I am? Am I real? You know, I ask myself this question a lot of times. You know, am I real? Am I really who I say I am? You know, who you are is not when you come to church. Who you are is not when you get around your friends. Who you are is when you're by yourself. And only you and God can see you. Are you who you say you are? You know, or are we hypocritical? You know. You know what a hypocrite is, don't you? Say one thing, do another. You know, are we serving the Master like we're supposed to serve Him today? Whose I am, but who I am. Now let me tell you, dear Christian, let me say this today. The devil cannot change whose you are, and he cannot change who you are as long as you don't let him. Do you realize that today? If you want to serve Christ, serve Christ. He can't change that. He may try to battle you and fight you. He may affect your family, may affect you physically. He may affect you mentally and spiritually. But he cannot change who you are. As long as you want to serve Christ, serve Christ. Make up your mind. I'm going to serve Christ to the fullness of my ability. And I'm going to be faithful to do my job. The devil cannot control us. He wants to, but he cannot. Why? I no longer belong to him. I no longer belong to me either, but I belong to Christ Jesus. What are we doing in serving the Lord today? Can we stand, as Paul said, in the midst of that storm and look up and say, of whose I am and who I serve, I'm his. What about you this morning? Let's bow our heads across the house if we would. Do you belong to him? Let's get a little music, boys. Do we belong to him this morning? Do you belong to him? Are you saved? Whose I am? Can you say that? I belong to the Lord. I belong to him. Maybe you've never been saved. This morning would be a good morning for you to get saved. Boy, you can leave out of here and say, I belong to the Lord. I am his and he is mine. But then this morning, let me ask you, how are you serving him? How are you serving him? Are you serving him with fullness of heart? Are you serving him with faithfulness of heart? Doing what you need to do. Being found faithful in him. How about it this morning? Are you faithful to him? Are you faithful to what he's called you to do? Got your will out of the way? How about it? One of the hardest things I fight is getting me out of the way. Getting me out of the way. Sometimes me wants to do my own thing and go my own way. I've had to get me out of the way plenty of times to preach what's needed to be preached. Get me out of the way and go witness. Tell folk that the Lord loves them. Get me out of the way to get to my study. where I might study and pray and seek God what He'd have us to on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. Listen, what I'm trying to tell you, if you're His, if you're bought and your blood bought and paid for, shouldn't you want to be faithful to Him? He gave His life for you. You know what? He's not asking you to die for Him. He's asking you to live for Him. If you need to come and pray, I encourage you to come today. If you need to do business with the Lord, I want you to come. If you're unsaved, young man, young lady, man, woman, boy, or girl, if you need to come and get saved today, I ask you to come. Lord, I'll meet with you and help you.